Welcome in to In the Pocket Across the Pond, the UK-based NFL fantasy football podcast. With me, Lewis. I'm here with Alex. And Alex, as always, running through the week's games, talking about fantasy football, all that sort of stuff. How are we doing, lads?
Good. Well, not so good, actually. Bit of a bad weekend fantasy-wise. Some unexpected losses, particularly in the main league. Thought I had it wrapped up. Was playing George Pickens. Playing against George Pickens, I should say. So that was an unpleasant surprise to wake up to. But I know we left the listeners on a cliffhanger last week. And me and Sharples did do the trade. Barkley for Swift and Devonta Smith. And happy to say that none of the players helped either of our teams this week.
That was amazing. Yeah,
I literally needed Barkley to get 11 instead of 10 and I would have won, but he didn't. So there we go.
Fantastic, yeah. Sharples, how did you fare this week?
Not good. I mean, as I literally lost by half a point, but I only scored 100. My opponent scored 101. Like I said, there was literally a 0.5 difference. So obviously that's annoying, but you can't be disappointed that you didn't win if you only put up 100 points. I mean, I know everyone has a different scoring system in their leagues, but what would you say, lads, in ours? I think if you put up less than 120, you can't really
on the surface of it, I got 117. So you're thinking, like, how did I think it was dead and buried? I did, because I ended up losing by about 11 points in the end. But George Pickens puts up 29 points. So I'm just thinking, you know, Pickens can have a nice 17-point game and I still win. Looking at yours is pretty absurd, Sharps, because you think, and I know what you mean, you score 100 points and you're, you know, you shouldn't really be winning anyway. But you look and you're like, Quinton Johnson goosed you. Amon-Ra St. Brown only got 6 points. Flacco's been on an absolute tour, only got 9 points. It's like, those are like, Quinton Judkins had a bad game. Those are guaranteed points almost every week.
The only saving grace is I switched out at the last minute. I put Joe Flacco in for Caleb Williams. If I had Caleb Williams in, I still wouldn't have won, but I would have lost by, I think, 0.4 points, in which case I would have thrown my phone into the sun. Yeah. So it's probably a good thing that I didn't.
It's always better when you have a close loss that there's nothing that you could have done on your bench. That's why I hate to bring up to Sharples that he could have had an extra 20 points if he just swapped out Stephon Diggs for Quinton Williams. Quinton Johnson.
Yes.
That is right. You do always prefer those games where it's like it was out of reach anyway. Which is exactly how my opponent felt, I'm sure, this week.
Very good, Lou. Should we just pull up Lou's score day quick? 153. I mean, was this the Tet McMillan breakout? I mean, Lou, there's going to be some, when you go through the best players on the week, there's going to be some strange names, some unfamiliar names in the kind of top 10 players on the week.
There is. I'm looking at the top 10 right now and it's pretty shocking. Some of them stalwarts, some of them who. But yeah, I had a good week. As I alluded to last week, I was playing the person in our league who is first, who has Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor was on bye this week. I don't think Jonathan Taylor would have scored 70 points, though.
I wouldn't put it past
him.
Which
is what I won by.
I
would have won either way.
Lou, don't even put... You've put that into the universe now.
I was sort of wrestling all weekend, as I am every weekend, to be honest, with the Herbert or Prescott decision. I decided on Prescott, but yeah, it wouldn't have mattered anyway because the rest of my team was very good this week. Was very good.
Apart from Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, because he wanted to even the playing field, so he got 0.7 fantasy points. So, and that's the funny thing. I was debating. I was like, oh, I wish I'd have. But as the 6 o'clock games rolled, and I was watching Red Zone, I was like, oh, I was meant to swap out Pearsall for Shakir, and that would have been the right decision because Pearsall got 0.3 of a point better than Shakir. He got one solemn fantasy point.
If you're talking about those, I we know that when Warren's back, you're going to go jumbo package again, Lou. I'm sure of it. But I mean, if you're looking at kind of a wide receiver dart throw, you've got Pearsall, you've got Shakir, you've got Christian Watson, and I'm probably, if I'm you, I'm probably plugging Christian Watson in.
Well, I got that's Shakir was always a bit of a rental for me. I've got Christian Watson. I've got and I'm hoping Chris Godwin comes back and looks better than he did do earlier in the season for those couple of games. But I do have Chris Godwin resting on my IR as well. So I've got options at wide receiver. This being said, I've got JSN, so it's all good. All gravy. Yeah. All gravy.
That's excellent for you, Lou.
It is. Nice one. Cheers. Cheers. That Ricky Pearsall stat was incredible as well, because I'm sure this has happened before, but he must have caught the ball at the line of scrimmage and got tackled immediately, because his 1 point was reception. No receiving yards, just reception, and his day was done. Very good stuff.
Is anyone good at maths here?
Shapples looks like he looks like the type.
He looks like the guy that would be good at maths. Take that how you will. Can you work out a quick percentage roughly? If my team scored 117 points, what is 74 percentage wise of 117 roughly? What are we talking about?
What is 74% of 117?
Well, so 74 points.
Oh, what is 74 out of 117?
Yeah, like percentage-wise, roughly, what are we talking like?
All right, so 10% would be around about 11. So you want 74. So roughly, just under 70%, let's call it 67%.
Nice. Yeah, I got 67% of my points this week from two players.
Nice.
Josh Allen has to be one.
And Trevion Henderson. Nice game, Luke.
Yes, of course.
It's even more shocking that you lost, considering those two players are literally in like the top six scorers on the week.
I know.
And one of them put up over 40, and you lost anyway. Yeah. Anyway, let's get into the week anyway. Quickly, week 11 in the NFL. Bucks getting it handed to him by Josh Allen. 32-44.
Yeah, it was Josh Allen.
Bit worried. I mean, the Bucks have got the Rams this next week. Could be 6-5 before we know it, the Bucks.
They've not got an easy schedule at all. And they're banged up. They are banged up, you know. But you just at a certain point, you just got to go out there and still get some results, and they haven't really been doing that. The Bills in this game, really, really just handed it to them. And there was a lot of lead changes. But to me, I always just felt like the Bills were on the precipice of pulling away. I don't know. The score line's flattering them a bit. But yeah. It was a good game. It was a good game. Certainly a defiant effort from Baker Mayfield and the Bucks, but they need to get healthy, really, here.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, 19, Rams, 21. You have to feel hard done by if you're a Seahawks fan and, your quarterback gets turned over four times and you only lose by 2 points.
Yeah,
that's amazing work by the Seahawks defense, really, to give the ball away that many times and still only concede 2 points less than the Rams. Shows how legit this Seahawks defense is. But maybe they could have. You know, Sam Darnold could have performed a bit better in this one, Sharples, really, for the Seahawks to get the win.
Yeah, I mean, looked like he was seeing ghosts out there. No, yeah, tough one, obviously. Agree with both points. Seahawks defense legit. I mean, obviously really good. I just would have liked to see a little bit more from the Rams, just from how high the standards have been over the past few games. Like, it is weird to see them looking human. I mean, obviously still got the win, did what they needed to. But I really thought they were just going to steamroll everyone leading into the playoffs, to be honest. But what else can you put it down to for Darnold? That was just a bad game. We've seen what he is. He's putting together enough of a resume in the last, you know, year or so that I'm not overly worried about it. And you know, the Rams are certainly no slouches on defense as well. So it's going to happen every now and then.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Stafford's now leader of the pack in terms of the MVP race.
Yeah.
I did say last week, if Stafford and May continue and both have really strong seasons, I think the narrative falls on the side of Stafford.
Yeah, definitely. And wins like this will help no end because, yeah, divisional win, divisional opponent, tough win, great defense. Win. That's what I'm saying. Like, Sharp, I agree that, you know, you expect more out of the Rams, but I think this is just a testament to the Seahawks defense. Obviously, you know, head coach, defensive head coach, Mike McDonald, he's got this defense taking it to the streets.
Very good. Very good.
But yeah, I done by Seahawks. I still think this is probably the most flattering a loss it could have been for them, really. Because I mean,
yeah,
you know, if, say you had your power rankings in your head, you're not really moving the Seahawks down at all after this game. Good team that they're against, really tough one. So Seahawks are still going to be a contender. Do you feel the same about the Chiefs, who lost 19-22 against the Broncos? Obviously, much a worse record than the Seahawks now at this point. Chiefs are 5-5, I believe now. Broncos 8-2. I want to say, What?
Put it this way. I mean, obviously, we've been the heights that they kind of showed for the first month and a half of the season in terms of scoring points. That's kind of settled down a little bit recently. But all I'll say is, I mean, there must still be something there because we do a pick'em. We're in a pick'em league each week where we pick the games, aren't we? And pretty much every week I pick the Chiefs. I pick the Chiefs against the Broncos this week. Obviously, it didn't pay off. I'm picking the Chiefs against the Colts this next week. So clearly, I still believe in this team and these players and this quarterback.
Well, you're not the only one because the Chiefs are coming up against the Colts. If not the best team in the league statistically this season. And the Chiefs are favoured by 3 points this week.
Really?
Yeah.
I am surprised about that.
It is in Kansas City.
That'll be it.
Yeah, yeah. But the Broncos, another gritty one-score win. They are certainly the Eagles of the AFC. Horrendous to watch, but they keep winning. So, speaking of horrendous to watch that they keep winning, the Eagles beat the Lions 9-16. Amazing defensive performance by both teams. Disappointing the Lions for this one. Eagles, it's hard. I'm sure it's very hard to acknowledge the squeaky wheel when you're just burning everybody and winning the race every week. You know? Eagles, again, just keep churning them out. The Lions are a good team, and the Eagles just took care of them this time on defense. Just seem like the team who they'll just adapt to every. They're like chameleons. They'll just adapt to every. What, you know, it's maybe because it's not every game they've had to air it out. But my words, when the week comes this season where the opponent scores 35, the Eagles will score 40. You know, it's just one of them. This Eagles team are just chameleons for whatever the game script is that they're coming up against.
I think I probably agree.
Yeah. Did anybody anticipate the Chargers being so crap this week?
If I had, I don't think I'd have played Quentin Johnson. So, no. Really does go to show you what losing your two top-tier offensive tackles will do to you. Obviously, they had Slater out, I think, since the start of the season. But since Joe Alt's joined him, they've been awful. And, you know... Quentin Johnson was wide receiver 4 in the first 4 weeks. He's now slipped fully off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Keenan Allen's inconsistent, but he, you know, probably to be expected given his age. And McConkey's certainly not had the breakout year that he was forecasted. Mm. And this Jags team, good offense, they've put up points, but they've also conceded points. I mean, I could accept this if the Chargers had lost 35-30, but 35-6 is
I don't think a
disgrace.
I don't think I'm particularly impressed with the Jaguars, though, as well.
Not at all.
Lawrence had a mediocre day, as usual, particularly if you look at the box score. Obviously, the defense played well. They had the defensive score. But I'm trying to figure out where these 35 points came from, to be honest with you. So it's not like we're amazed by what the Jaguars are doing at all.
No, no, the Jaguars are a mid team, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, things to be worked out for the Chargers. Divisional wins for the Patriots, Texans, Panthers, Bears, Steelers, 49ers, Ravens.
Bears, by the way, 7 of the last 8.
Yep. They're getting it done. That offense, that team are getting it done. Not as much of a shootout as we all anticipated. Maybe the quarterback who the Bears were against is not great. JJ McCarthy, which is like, I just, you know, I wouldn't feel as good saying how rubbish he'd been if after every win, every time he did something good, he did that weird locked in, zoned in face sort of thing, and it's in the locker room and stuff, and it's like, lad, chill out, your career wins are 2. It's like,
would you rather have him or Trevor Lawrence?
It's a great question. Maybe McCarthy, just because it's so early, he might turn into, I think with Lawrence, I think we're established that Lawrence just isn't the guy. We've seen enough of Trevor Lawrence to know now that he isn't the guy. I know we've probably already said that about Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, but I just, yeah, Lawrence to me just... Lawrence hasn't even shown flashes like Daniel Jones did in New York. Mm. Like,
yeah,
we haven't even had that by Lawrence, I don't think.
That would be my answer as well, to be fair.
The McCarthy thing as well, it's kind of like the guy was... You know, no, don't mean this in a bad way, but a game manager in college, and to expect him just to come out here after a season-ending injury and kind of be slinging it all over the place, I don't know. You mentioned the Panthers, though, by the way, which, you know, good win, putting up a lot of points. I think Dave Carlos is a good coach. But what a disaster for the Falcons this season's been, by the way. I mean, is that Penix's potential season-ending knee injury?
Yeah.
You two do both know that the reason he was in college so long is because he had 2 season-ending knee injuries during his time in college.
Okay.
So this is a worry. 3-7, though. I mean, I've got 2 coaches in my mind that are on the hot seat. One of them is Raheem Morris because, I mean, a lot was promised with this Falcons team, particularly this year, and 3-7 is shocking.
I think that as morbid and, you know, it's not nice to say it as it is, that Penix injury has just sort of bought him time. Because that's the excuse now.
Penix wasn't necessarily lighting things up anyway.
He wasn't at all. I think I compared him to Tua when I was watching Red Zone with our brother. I'm sure he can put up plenty of yards, all this sort of stuff, but yeah, I'm not sure the substance in it at all.
He's my coach, kind of second closest to the hot seat, though.
Let's get into the
who's first.
Go on.
Who's first? My coach who is first closest to the hot seat. Fingers on buzzers. Who can get it first? So it's a team who this coach has got an extremely good reputation around the league. He's actually won some coaching awards in recent years. Lewis got it already. I feel like he always gets bailed out because his team ends up having a better record than they should. And they're on 2-8 this year, and those 2 wins are purely because of the defense that they've got. And at what point do we wake up and realize this guy's an offensive coach? And the only thing that the Browns have got is a defense.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think Stefanski for me. I don't know about you two, but Stefanski for me, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking that as well. Can we also shout out, Dylan Gabriel came out of this game, I believe, because of a concussion. Yeah. And I did think it was a bit distasteful that when Shadow Sanders was running onto the field, he was giving it the big un to the crowd. It's like, other quarterback's just got a concussion, chill out. And it, because he was giving it the big un, I do not at all feel bad about just telling you his box score. 4 of 16 for 47 and 1. And the one is an interception.
Oh yeah, that's appalling.
So I'll just leave that there. Yeah. Thank you very much, Shadow Sanders, for that. Just a bit of humility until you've done something in the league.
I thought 4:16 was like the time left in the half when he came on, or the time left in the game when he came on.
No,
4:16. I didn't realise that wasn't the clock. That was the completion attempt ratio.
Completion, and also, I mean, that box score obviously doesn't mention the sacks that he gave away as well. Great game from Joe Sanders. Impressive victory this week, though, Al.
I think there was a few teams who you kind of like made statement wins that they, I suppose, needed to make. I think the Patriots on Thursday kind of, you know, just set the tone for the week. 9-2 now. Drake May, a really good game again. Obviously, hopefully breakout by Trevion Henderson against the Jets team that were trying to get some sort of resurgence. You know, they just won two games in a row, and then the Patriots were just like, no thanks. Yeah. Stop.
Yeah. Shapples?
Yeah, I think it was a tough one. I initially was going to say the Bills, but then I realised it wasn't the Bills I was impressed with, it was just Josh Allen. So I also settled on the Patriots. Obviously, it was only the Jets, but good, confident win, the kind of win you'd expect of a team that's rolling like they are. So, yeah, like Al said, set the tone.
I went with the Broncos just because Chiefs were coming off a loss. More often than not, when they're coming off a loss, they'd come out shooting, and the Broncos just held them in check and won that game, big game to win. Not buying it win now.
Dolphins.
Yeah. Chapels.
Steelers.
It's a toughie for me. Steelers as well, I gotta say, probably. Steelers as well. I don't know. It's shocking to me that's the top of that division, but that's the state of the AFC North. Worst team in the league. Out.
Browns at the minute.
Shapples.
Because they hurt me so badly, the Chargers.
Yeah, I think it's got to be the Browns at the minute, unfortunately. Although the defense is still great, it's got to be the Browns. Mm-hmm. Got to be the Browns. But let's run into some of the players, the best players on the week. Top 10. Josh Allen, number one.
Ooh, yep.
317 and 3 through the air, 40 for 3 on the ground, 2 interceptions as well.
6 touchdowns.
6 touchdowns accounted for.
This is what they've got to do. They never improve this roster. They keep saying they do. They keep saying Josh Allen has got all these pieces. And then they spend a few games trying to prove that Josh Allen has the pieces. The pieces don't do anything. The Bills end up losing. And they have to fall back onto Josh Allen doing everything again, because it's the only way they can win.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Amazing game there. Exactly what you drafted Josh Allen for in fantasy football. I'm sure he is far and away the quarterback one on the season. far and away the running back one on the season is Christian McCaffrey.
How? This is what I don't get. If Jonathan Taylor is so dominant on the ground, how many points has McCaffrey scored receiving? Seriously.
Well, he was 5 for 40 and 1 through the air this week, which would be a serviceable receiving line, to be honest with you. You know, PPR, you know, you're talking 15 points there. But he also added 81 rushing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns to that serviceable wide receiver game.
Wow.
So, yeah, at the moment, Christian McCaffrey, I believe, is the running back one.
So, the other week, I don't know whether I said it on the pod or I said it to you when we were watching the NFL, but I'm like, there's something strange about McCaffrey when you watch him. You're kind of like, where are these points coming from? What is he doing? Is it because he's just getting the ball all the time? I'm not saying the dude isn't an amazing athlete, but he's not like busting any runs like Johnny T anymore. And I think, just looking at it now, I think that McCaffrey isn't really in the conversation for the MVP, for the Offensive Player of the Year, like he was a couple of seasons ago, means that I'm not just speaking nonsense. For all the stats that McCaffrey's putting up, people aren't really putting value on it as a look how amazing this guy is. And for what reason that is, I don't know. But there's a different feel to this season than there was a couple of years ago when they got to the Super Bowl. And I bet his stats are fairly comparable right now.
They probably are, but it also helps for fantasy football in PPR when you're averaging like 6 receptions a game, because that isn't anything that anyone in real life is going to pay attention to. But in PPR, that's 6 extra points per game that you're averaging. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's doing stuff that is noticeable for fantasy football players, but not as noticeable for regular watchers of the league, which Jonathan Taylor is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the team's not quite the same as it was last year or two. They've been riddled with injuries, which, to be fair, they haven't for the last couple of years. But, I mean, they lost some big defensive pieces. They lost Hufanga. They lost Greenlaw. So that's why they're not winning as many games. And so if you're not winning as many games, you're not going to get spoken about, I guess, in that conversation.
Yeah, true. Now, Lou, I know you're about to run through a list of players that everyone is sick of hearing about in this top 10 every week, aren't you?
That's true. Sean Tucker, for one. God, get out of it.
If I hear his name one more time.
Yeah. 106 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 2 receptions for 34 yards, and a receiving touchdown as well. Sean Tucker, I do not.
Big projection this week.
He went off. He went off.
Big projection. 3.2.
I know, I saw that. I was like, are you joking? How?
No,
even if Bucky Irvin's back, how? So, projection beater.
Yeah.
Michael Wilson.
Another household name.
15 for 185 yards. I believe that's the most receiving yards by a player in a game this season.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Helps when your quarterback literally
completely... How many yards did George Pickens have that one game when Lamb wasn't there? That's got to have been... It's got to have been... I'm just going to check that day quick.
180-something, yeah. Tetero McMillan, 8 for 130 and 2. That was lovely stuff. Great to see. McMillan looks like a really good player. Trevon Henderson, the coming out party, 5 touchdowns.
Oh, sorry. He only had 168 yards, George Pickens.
Okay.
Peasant.
Trevon Henderson, 62 for 2 on the ground, 5 for 31 and 1 through the air.
Yeah.
He's the dude now. Bryce Young, 448 passing yards and 3 passing touchdowns for Bryce Young and a 2-point conversion.
He did all of this in the air as well. He had like minus 1 rushing yard.
He did, and a clean game, no interceptions at all. Like Bryce Young, he just does not look good, but then sometimes...
Yeah, he really doesn't. No. Like I watched it and I thought, all right, that's Bryce Young with, 12 points again? And then what?
So, fuck right, good game. But yeah, I just still can't work him out, whatever. Bijan Robinson, 104 rushing yards, 2 rushing touchdowns, 4 for 39.
No player carried the team more this week than Bijan Robinson.
Yeah.
No player carried the team. I mean, the Falcons might have scored 0 points if Bijan Robinson wasn't there.
Yeah.
Kenneth Gainwell comes in at number 9 on the week, right? Number 9 fantasy player on the week with a receiving line of 7 for 81 and 2.
But he's a running back, Lou. But he's a running back.
And a rushing line of 24 rushing yards, full stop.
What?
If there's... We're like an advert for non-PPR leagues, for standard leagues.
I know. George Pickens, 9 for 144 and 1.
Very good.
Al knows this.
Well, not very good. Sorry, not very good.
That box score very well. George Pickens.
I woke up to because we play on ESPN. I woke up and had no idea what the good score of the game was. I just woke up to there was a taunt waiting for me from my opponent, and I knew that was not a good sign.
Oh, nice. Look at George Pickens' box score. Sorry, his game log. It's amazing. He's currently, I believe, the wide receiver 4 on the season. Ridiculous.
It's going to get a big bag of cash in the offseason.
Yeah, Prescott had a nice game. Jacoby Brissett set the NFL record for completions of all time.
Wait, what? Sorry. Like
he completed more passes in this game than anyone else in any other game. He had 47 completions. That's the NFL all-time record.
But they only scored 22 points.
No.
Brissett went off. 47 of 57, by the way. Insane.
Yeah, 47 of 57. That is the NFL record of the 100-plus years of the National Football League. No one has ever completed more passes in a game than Jacoby Brissett completed on Sunday.
Hey, fur mate. He's trying. You know what I mean?
He is. Jacoby Brissett is a solid quarterback.
I think Jacoby Brissett is better than Kyler Murray.
I think Jacoby Brissett is better than Kyler Murray. I think Jacoby Brissett is better than Trevor Lawrence. Brissett, looking at the quarterbacks in this league, there is no reason Jacoby Brissett should not be a starting quarterback in this league.
That's crazy, by the way, that stat that you've just said. I still can't get my head around it.
Yeah.
They didn't even put up that many.
No.
That's so crazy. They didn't put up that many points.
Yeah.
His QBR rating alongside it was comically low as well. Like, I think the max QBR rating you can get is 144 in a game.
Yeah.
He set that record. I could be wrong. I'm sure his QBR was 23.
How?
I don't know.
Devon Achan, nice game as always. Neo Collins, George Kittle, McBride, Kelsey, Andrews. Stalwarts there. Players who didn't do too well though. Lamar Jackson. Amon-Ra St. Brown. Sam Darnold, 4 interceptions. Devonta Smith. Whoa! What did he get?
1.8 points.
1.8, nice. Quinshon Judkins, as I say him in my head because that's how the commentator on TalkSport kept saying his name, Quinshon Judkins. So that's how he keeps coming up in my head. Not a great game. JJ McCarthy, yeah, bad. Woody Marks, that was gutting. Although Woody Marks, that was my projection beater. I'm going to claim a moral victory because in this game, the choice has been made. Woody Marks is the lead back because he had 18 carries in this game that was close the whole way through. Nick Chubb had 3. So
just remind me, Al, how many points does a moral victory get you in projection beaters?
Well, in our projection beaters and in our league that we play, our format is 0.
0. Ah, okay.
Oh, so but immoral victories get a point then because of all the times that you picked a tight end who was projected 1.
Well, when it works, yes.
Okay. Khalil Shakur, bad game. Ricky Pearsall, bad game there as well. Before we're accountable, bit of news, as we alluded to before, Michael Penix placed on injured reserve, probably done for the season. Drake London's going to be out at least 1 week. Calvin Ridley is done for the season. Sam Laporta was placed on IR. Garrett Wilson was placed on IR. J.K. Dobbins is out for the season. They are all players that were on your fantasy teams. So, act accordingly. But, wow. Yeah. That's not good reading, really. Not great reading there. I'm sure there was more as well that I just didn't look at. But we like to be accountable more than anything on this show.
Yes, yes, Al. We do. Yes, we do. So I just want to try and find, like, you know, an absurd stat to compare against Brissett this week. And the closest I've got, Lou, is that in week two of the NFL season, the Lions put up 52 points and Jared Goff threw the ball 23 times. So we're talking half as many throws and double the points. Sorry, I was just trying to find. Anyway, shout out to Jacoby Brissett. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was a mixed bag of a week. You know, starting with Lou, you know, picking. So we've established that no points for moral victories. Obviously, no points also. I didn't think I'd need to clarify this year, Lou, but no points for picking a player who's on injured reserve.
Well, he had a projection and he was practicing. I swear he was practicing. I read the report. Anyway, because he has a projection again this week. You know what I mean?
another one of your underhand tactics, Lou. You're always trying to steal a point.
Oh, he's gone. Oh, no, he's gone.
Oh, shit.
He's gone. Hopefully he can join back. Hopefully he can join back here now. He's back.
His setup's fine. He just got rinsed so hard he had to leave.
Yeah, leave this in, Lou. Lou left the Zoom chat and we thought he was just, leave it. Slamming the door because
my headphones. It was my headphones. As I was actually getting up just to back up my stats about the weirdo.
We're talking about Brendan Strange, by the way, tight end for the Jaguars, who is didn't do anything at the weekend.
Let me just read this. Since the Jaguars designated Strange for return from injured reserve on Wednesday of last week, he logged a pair of limited practices, and then he sat out Friday. And obviously, we didn't record before we recorded before Friday, so it was all in line for him to play. He was
on the ESPN app. He has IR next to him today.
Great.
Anyway, you got away with one there, Lou. You had John Anderson, who got a nice round 10 points. Those points all came pretty late as well.
They did. I was waiting for the goose because he was goosing for a long, long time. And to be honest, if I'd have seen how bad JD McCarthy looked, I probably would not have leaned on Anderson. I was hoping. I was wishful.
He has been quite reliable this year, though, Addison, just at least for the double figures. You mentioned Woody Marks, but not a great game, 6.1 points. Dak Prescott, you called it, Lou, 24 points. You are on the three-game streak at the quarterback position. Sharples, Aaron Rodgers, wow. Have you seen the screenshot of him?
No.
What's the screenshot?
Of him getting hit this weekend. It looks like, do you know, very early episodes of The Simpsons where they're all quite pointy.
All right.
It looks like that. But Aaron Rodgers got injured this week. Trevion Henderson was a good shout from you, Sharps. Breakout game. T. Higgins, nice game, not a hit or a miss. And Gadsden, just by about 0.4 points a miss, 6.1. I had the safest week ever. No hits, no misses, all just okay. David Montgomery was a miss. I'm looking at my plays from this week. David Montgomery was a miss at 4.7 points. Jordan Love had a nice game. It was nice to see some life from this Packers offense, but 17 points is just fine, as is Keenan Allen's 9.3, and Tyler Higbee left the game injured.
Great.
To be fair to you, Jordan Love went off for a spell as well, so if he got those 10 minutes back,
he's got probably
looking at a hit.
That guy's got a live arm. Whoa. I mean, when he has Christian Watson firing, I love that combo. It's why no matter what receivers kind of get into this Packers rotation, whether it's Romeo Dobbs, whether it's Jaden Reed, is it Matthew Golden this year as well? It's like no, and this week, this past week, kind of really symbolised it. No one really kind of gets you as excited as Christian Watson does for fantasy, even though he's always injured because of the plays that he makes, that, like he did this week.
Yeah. Absolutely. Great stuff. Let's look ahead to week 12. It's week 12. It is week 12.
Very close to the fantasy playoffs.
We're very close to fantasy. Are you in? Are you out?
Currently out. Got a nice round 9% chance of making it. I like my chances.
Listen, we play in a 10-team league that's always very competitive. Listen, three games separate yourself, Al, in eighth, and the team in joint second place. You know what I mean?
I'm running out of weeks, and I'll be honest with you, I went to bed on Sunday night thinking that I gained a game on everyone ahead of me this week, so I'm pretty dejected.
Yep. Teams on bye this week: Chargers, Dolphins, Commanders, Broncos. Any others? Surely. No. Maybe not.
What do you say? Chargers, Commanders, Dolphins, Broncos. It's normally an even number, isn't it? Well, it has to be an even number. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Most of the time, I think it is.
Yeah. Forget about it, though, this week, Al.
Yes. Got a few. Got a few guys that are locked into your lineup. You're not even thinking about it this week. So we've got Drake May at to start the quarterback position off. Sorry. We've got Drake May, Pat Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, of course, and Dak Prescott.
Forget about it.
We've got some unbelievable projections for players like Brock Purdy and Jalen Hurts and Dan Jones and Jackson Dart. But no, those are the guys that are locked in no matter what. Mm-hmm. Running back position: Christian McCaffrey, Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs, Jonathan Taylor, James Cook, Kyren Williams, Saquon Barkley has to be started.
Forget about it!
Wide receiver position: JSN, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson. Do we think we go Devontae Adams? Definitely going T. Higgins this week, though.
Forget about it!
Oh, Jamar Chase was suspended, yeah.
Well, exactly. That was a bit of news. But he didn't do anything, Lou, if you listen to Jamar Chase. He didn't do anything. There wasn't 100 cameras pointing at him.
Actually, if you looked at his quote, it was like him low-key admitting guilt, because his exact quote was, "I ain't spit on nobody," which is actually a double negative, and a double negative infers a positive. Therefore, "I ain't spit on nobody" means I spat on someone.
Thanks. Thank you,
Alex Sharples. That's very true. That is very exactly. That would hold up in court.
Yeah, I mean, it's poor from Chase, isn't it? So I mean, just very. And his coach kind of came out and said it was poor. So you'd probably, you know, you just want him to kind of admit it was stupid. We're going to move past it. Mm-hmm. Is what you kind of want to hear from Chase at this point. At the tight end position: Trey McBride, Brock Bowers, George Kittle, Tyler Warren.
Forget about it.
Yes.
Cool.
Strong names.
Nice. Let's get into the projection beaters then, guys, who we think are going to outscore the ESPN projection by 4 or more points this week. Al, quarterback, stars out.
I'm going Sam Darnold, projected just the 15.2 against one of the worst teams in the league, the Tennessee Titans. Few bad weeks for Darnold. Less than 5 fantasy points in his last 2 games. Now, I don't expect this form to continue. You know, his weapons are too good. This offense is too good. This team is too good for him to keep scoring less than 5 fantasy points. And fortunately for him, he gets the Titans, who, as I just mentioned, are not a very good team whatsoever. I think the 15-point projection is one that he can easily surpass. So I'm going Sam Darnold for a bounce-back game.
bouncy back game. Sharples.
I've gone for Baker Mayfield against the Rams, mainly because he's got an incredibly low projection, given that it's Baker Mayfield. He's projected 14.7, which I think is astonishingly low. Obviously, Rams defense, they caused Sam Darnold to see ghosts, 4 interceptions. So I imagine that ESPN is just a little bit scared of them. But if you look statistically, they're actually, against the pass, they're a middle to back end pass defense team. Obviously, they've got guys that can apply pressure and cause turnovers, but I don't think they're going to affect Mayfield like that. We've talked about Mayfield's depleted weapons, but as long as he's got Ibuka, I think he's always got an outlet. And I think even if they take away some of the passing game, he can make those little scrambles with his leg. So, yeah, I think he's coming off his bye. He's had a 23-point game, a 17-point game. Not guaranteed he's going to be a hit. I just think 14.7 is really low. And I don't think he's going to score less than 10.7 points. So I don't think he'll be a miss.
Nice. I go for Jared Goff, projected 17.8 versus the New York Giants. I believe Goff is who I went with that started out my little heater at the quarterback position a few weeks ago. I picking him for the exact same reason I picked him a few weeks ago. The Lions are coming off a loss that they really wish they would have won. So they're going to really want to put the mark back on the league. Giants are awful. Lions should stomp them. Put up plenty of points in this one. I've got no issues starting Jared Goff in this one. I think he's going to be a safe player. Few touchdown passes in there. Yeah. Running back, Al.
Going with the Carbonnet, Zach Charbonnet. No. Clearly, what's that for?
He's just not as good.
Well, and that's why his projection is lower. Projected 9.8. Luke, you say he's not as good as Ken Walker, but Charbonnet is still, you know, if I read you out his attempts in the last five games, 12, 12, 8, 14, 11, you know, we're still, this is like 60-40 in Walker's favour. They're against Tennessee, as I've just mentioned. Tennessee are one of the worst teams in the league. They're a bottom seven team against fantasy running backs. It's a really good matchup. I like the projection because it is a lot lower, a lot more conservative than Ken Walker's projection, and this is a split backfield. The Seahawks are almost 2 touchdown favourites in this game, which I think explains why I want pieces on the Seahawks team in this game. Charbonnet should beat this 9.8 projection.
Carbonnet, nice. Sharples.
I'm going back to the Trevion Henderson well. It was a bountiful harvest last time out. And given the opponents this week, the Cincinnati Bengals, who have the worst defense in the league, both passing and rushing, I believe. I think it's going to be another smorgasbord for Henderson. I think I'm probably going to pick him again next week until he becomes a forget about it, to be honest, lads, because we've got a pretty good schedule rest of year. Admittedly, the Bills and the Ravens could suddenly realise that they're both good defences, but they haven't been great so far. I think when you're in the toilet bowl, Al, in week 17 and 18, it'll be really useful as well.
Thank you.
But yeah, no, it's the breakout that we wanted, the breakout that we wanted from week one. He's really been given the chance to show off his explosiveness since Ramondre Stevenson's been out. He looks like the kind of guy that's going to have at least 2 or 3 big runs, and generally once he gets into that sort of second, through that second line, I mean, he's taking it to the house. He's so quick, he's so agile, and yeah, if he keeps getting the carries like this, he's going to keep putting up monster points, and I think the game script is going to favour the Patriots massively. I think they're going to have the ball a lot, they're going to get up early, they're going to stay up, and again, I could see him having another 30-point game.
Nice, very nice. I go for Alvin Kamara, projected 13.2 versus Atlanta. Atlanta defense started out really strong this year, but they've been sort of coming apart over the last month. They're giving up points and yards all over the field. Specifically for Kamara, though, Atlanta, they've given up 166 rushing yards per game over the last 3 games. And then given, obviously, their offense is maybe going to struggle now with Kirk Cousins, certainly not be as good as they hoped it would be. not as good as it has been at earlier points of this season. That puts more pressure on the defense. That probably means that they're not going to be able to move the ball as well on offense. That means there's going to be more snaps on the defense. Defense is going to be tired out. There's going to be plenty of opportunity for this New Orleans team here to have a sneaky game. I didn't look at the line. I want to know what the line is for this one, because I'd take New Orleans in this one, to be honest with you, against a reeling Atlanta team. And I think Kamara is going to have a nice game. Wide receiver, Al.
I've gone Christian Watson, projected 11.3 against the Minnesota Vikings. Terrible matchup, I'll admit it, but I'm feeling it. It's all vibes. I love what I saw from Watson. Best game of the season, 2 touchdowns this past week, 20 fantasy points. I'm rolling with it, so I don't really care about the matchup. I think if Watson's there, if Watson's firing, Love's going to throw it up to him.
He's going to be up there. He's going to be up there. Yawning, incredibly sorry about that. Sharples?
Thank you, Lou. Thank you.
Terrible. I actually struggled this week at wide receiver. There was no one that was really singing out to me. Like, normally when I scroll down, I'll see a few, and I'm thinking, oh, well, I fancy a bit of that. But didn't really have that. So tried to find a game that I think is going to be relatively high scoring. And this one is a bit of a risk because the status of Aaron Rodgers is not great. But I've gone for Rome Odunze, wide receiver for the Bears, against the Steelers. Projected 13.1 points, which is a little bit on the lower side, but he has been quite hit and miss recently. He's gone from a 19 points to a goose, to a 21 points to a 6. So it is a bit of a roller coaster, but just looking around the other guys with similar projections, I just think Odunze has got a higher ceiling than any of them, and I'm going after hits at this point. I'm not too fussed about if he misses. I'm trying to go for the win. So, boom bust guy, certainly has been for the last few weeks, but going up against a Pittsburgh team that's dead last in terms of the number of yards they've allowed passing wise, not giving up as many passing touchdowns as the Bengals, but then who have? I can just see him going for a pretty sizable touchdown in this one. I think that's going to make him a hit.
Nice. I'm going to go for Xavier Worthy, projected 11.4 versus Indianapolis. Highest over-under of the week, 50.5. As we mentioned earlier in the episode, Chiefs -3 at home. Colts have been better against the pass as of late, but still on the season, giving up 21 points per game to the position. Chiefs need to win this one. If they lose this one, that AFC championship game, the chances in the AFC are getting out of reach, really. So I don't think they're going to let up in this one. I think they're going to be really... Al's just sent us a picture of Aaron Rodgers getting hit. That's really good.
It was against the Chargers. It was against the Chargers.
Right. Yeah, good stuff.
That's not his face. It looks like Dave England.
Yeah, he's like had a haircut and everything. It's like a different
guy. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. Xavier Worthy for me. Chiefs won't let up in this one. It's going to be a good game. Must win. They're going to be throwing it all over the place. Worthy for me. Tight end now.
I'm going back to Colson Loveland. Just because the projection is so low, it's 6 points for a guy that's been averaging more than that recently, and obviously he's been heavily involved in recent weeks as well. I hate the fact that I'm picking the same guy as I've picked two out of the last 3 weeks, but also the projection is too low for a guy that could go off.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Colson Loveland also sounds like a really good sort of vintage soul singer's name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Sharples?
Also, never apologise for that, Al. I mean, that's straight out of the Taysom Hill School of Fantasy Economics.
True.
I really wanted to wallow in the low-scoring tight ends this week. I spotted Dawson Knox with a projection of 3 points, given that Dalton Kincaid is injured or potentially injured. But then I looked at Dawson Knox's points and he still wouldn't be a hit even with that. So I'm going to leave it. And also Josh Allen showed that he doesn't actually need any other teammates. He can just do it all himself.
Yeah.
So I went slightly higher up the board, and I went with the tight end for the New Orleans Saints, Juwan Johnson, not Taysom Hill. Good, really good week against Carolina when I picked him a couple of weeks ago. Had a bye since then, but I just think Tyler Shuck has shown he's relatively competent for a rookie quarterback. It's a lot of short to mid throws, a lot of short throws to Johnson, who seems to be a little bit of a safety blanket. And the Saints have shown recently that they are liable to concede a lot of points. So I think with a projection of 9.2, that's pretty safe. Even if he's not going to be a hit, I don't think he's going to miss on that, given the amount of targets that he should get. So yeah, gone for the second best tight end for the Saints.
Nice. I got Chig Okonkwo for the Tennessee Titans, projected 6.9 versus Seattle. Cameron Ridley's out for this team now. Seattle are going to put up a hell of a lot of points in this game. Tennessee are going to try and keep up. And one way you can do that is at the tight end position, because the Seahawks have been beatable for tight ends. So Chig Okonkwo for me in this one. And let's round it out with a game to your Sharples.
Yeah, struggled really to find any really great ones and any really terrible ones. Only got one in the great and one in the bad. In the great, I've gone for Rams Buccaneers. Buccaneers have been a little bit shaky, but I do think that should be a nice game. A few in the good, though. I've got Chiefs Colts, I've got Packers Vikings, I've got Cowboys Eagles, 49ers Panthers.
Agreed.
Bears Steelers. Again, that might depend on whether Rodgers plays. That could be a bit of a stinker.
Agreed with that 49ers Panthers one, yeah.
Yeah. Should be high scoring at least. Into the meh, Texans, Bills, Titans, Seahawks, Ravens, Jets, Lions, Giants, Bengals, Patriots, Saints, Falcons, and Cardinals, Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
And the third in the punch bowl this week is Raiders, Browns.
It is. Yeah. It certainly is.
Yeah. I mean, I think that If the Texans hadn't have cooled a little bit recently, the Bills-Texans game could be really interesting.
Cool, what do you mean? Two wins out of two for Davis Mills. Cooling off,
yes, they look so good against the Titans.
Forgive me, Lou, but I don't think they are the high-powered offense with Davis Mills that they were with CJ Stroud, albeit they did put up that 36 points against the Jaguars.
That's literally the most high-powered they have looked all season, yeah, with Davis Mills.
Do you think they would be better with Davis Mills than CJ Stroud?
No,
okay.
That's just why it's such a weird scenario, because like they've been winning games and the offense has at times been better with Davis Mills, but obviously he's not as good a quarterback as CJ Stroud, but I don't know.
All I will say is,
this week just gone, as a Nico Collins manager in the main league, I was buzzing that Davis Mills was still in. And I with good reason, because Nico Collins had a great game again.
Shaking my head vigorously
they
right now.
Limped past the 1-9. I'm talking
specifically as a Nico Collins manager now. Not anything to do with the Texans as a team. I do not care if the Texans win or lose, to be honest with you. All I care about is, since Davis Mills has been playing, 11 targets, 15 targets, 10 targets for
one of those games, he only got 13 points. So it's not like he's getting 30 a game.
He got 14.5, 22.6, 24.2. Sky's the limit, baby. 30 this week if Davis Mills is playing.
Fantastic.
That'll be the closing thought, I reckon. Yeah. Thank you very much for listening to the podcast this week. Good luck in week 12.
Good
luck. We'll speak to you next week. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.